Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ketubos Daf Vav. We're learning today Leilui Nishmas, a Holocaust survivor, Isaac Ratz, Yitzhak Ben Moshe, a very special person, and also Pearl Shapiro. And I also got a name from a few days ago, the Yahrzeit of Jerry Rosengarten, Yosef Ben Tzvi Yaakov. All the Nishmas we learned for should have had Aliyah from our learning. We pick up the Gemara, four lines on the top of Vav Lamed Aleph. We remind ourselves that yesterday we brought down two different opinions as to what the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel was. There were different opinions. The Beis Medrash of Rav felt that Rav was the Meikel, who said that a Darvish Enu Miskavin is Mutter, and therefore one would be allowed to have Bior Rishon on a Friday night, whereas Shmuel, according to the Beis Medrash of Rav, was the one that was Machmir, and vice versa. In Naradoi, they said that it was Shmuel that was the one that was Meikel, and said that Darvish Enu Miskavin is Mutter, and therefore one could have Bior Rishon on a Friday night, when Rav was the one that was Machmir. Now, the more questions. Four lines from the top, Vovarava. Really, Virav Shari, was Rav the more Meikel opinion? According to the Beis Medrash of Rav, they said that Rav was of the opinion that a Dovrish Eino Miskavin is Mutter, and since your intention wasn't to go and create either a passageway or to create a wound, so therefore there was no reason to Aser Bia Rishona. That implies that Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon, who says that a Dovrish Eino Miskavin is Mutter. But the Gemara says that's not true. Rav Shari, really, does Rav say that that's permissible? Rav Shimi bar Chizkiya mishmei de Rav. Rav Shimi bar Chizkiya, say the name of Rav. Hai misochraya de Naziyosa. What is this? So Rashi explains, Stimas nekeb gigis. He used to go and plug up the spigot of a barrel, Shemotzin hashechar derech hanekeb. And this spigot was to allow the beer that was inside this barrel fermenting to come out. The sotman also, and they would plug it up, bibavloi bigodim, with worn out clothing, with worn out a piece of cloth. So they would plug this up. It would obviously get soaked with beer, and this plugging up of such a barrel is osur lahadoka. You can't push it in and plug it up, biyomatov on yontif. And Rashi explains the reason why you can't is mishum schita, because you're squeezing it out. Tosfos says that while many agree with Rashi, says the Rabbeinu Hanal and the Aruch all agree with Rashi, but Tosfos doesn't like this. The Rabbeinu Tam says that the reason for Shechita not being allowed is because it's cleaning it. And if you're dealing with something other than water, such as wine or beer or oil, so there is no problem of Shechita according to that Shita. Therefore, Tosfos suggests that the Isser, the underlying Isser, the Tolda, is of Dosh, not Malabein, but Dosh. In any event, clearly Rav says you're not allowed to go and do this, even though that's not your intention. Your intention isn't to do squeezing schita or malabein as part of schita or dosh. So nevertheless, Rav says you're not allowed to do this. So obviously Rav holds that it's a dovrish eino miskavin, yet it's aser. Rav clearly holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So how does the Beis Medrash of Rav say that their opinion of Rav is that he's the Meikel opinion? So Gemara says, no, he could still hold like Rabbi Shimon, but in this situation, even Rabbi Shimon is moder. Bahahu, in the case of plugging up the spigot with a cloth, and you're definitely going to squeeze, like Rashi says, I feel like Rabbi Shimon is moder, because the Abaye Barava, the Amr Tavaye, we have the famous Shita throughout Shas, that moder Rabbi Shimon, bipsik reisha velo yomos. In a situation where something is inevitable, 100% of the time it will happen, so then even Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't normally concern himself with the Darvish Eino Miskavin, since that's not your intention, he says it's mutter. But if it's 100% that it's going to happen, psik reisha, if you cut off the head of the chicken, won't the chicken die? You can't say, well, I'm not interested in chicken dying. If it's going to happen 100% of the time, so even Rabbi Shimon is concerned about it. And that's why Rav could still hold like Rabbi Shimon, and by Bior Rishona say it's permissible to do that on Friday night, but by the Musochrayad, the Naziyasa, that would be prohibited because that's a psik reisha. And again, as we explained previously, why isn't the Bior Rishona psik reisha? Because as we're learning today's shir, as we mentioned in yesterday's shir, hatoya, that there are those that can go and have Bior Rishona without necessarily breaking the hymen. And we'll learn about that more later in the shir. Shemar still questions this and says, really? Va'amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav, we have Beferish Dis Amaroyim saying in the name of Rav that Rav doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. This opinion of Ruchia Barashi in the name of Rav says halachic Rav Yehuda, that Rav holds that a Dov Shein Miskavin is Osir. So how could he allow Bior Rishon on the first night? And likewise, Rav Chanan Barami Amar Shmuel. Rav Chanan Barami says that Shmuel's opinion is halachic Rabbi Shimon, that he is the Meikel opinion. So this works out great according to the Beis Medrash of Naradoi, where Shmuel was the Rav, so therefore they say that Shmuel is the Makel opinion and Rav is the Mach opinion. Oh, these work out perfectly according to that. However, according to the opinion of the Beis Medrash of Rav, it goes against this Beferish statement that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda and the Beferish statement that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon. Now, that's the first way we have this machlokes. V'am Rav Chiya Bar Ashi and Rav Chanan Bar Ami, they said these opinions over the name of Rav and Shmuel. But Rav Chiya Bar Oven, Masi Lo Below Gavri. But Rav Chiya Bar Oven, he learned this out without the intervening Amoraim, and he learned it out straight, that it's an outright straight machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. That Rav Amar Halachi Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel Amar Halachi Rabbi Shimon. So again, how can you tell us that Bi'ur Rishon is allowed according to Rav? And by the way, how can you say that Shmuel doesn't allow Bi'ur Rishona the way the Beis Medrash Rav said? Here you clearly see that the machlokes Rav and Shmuel parallels this machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon for a Dover Shem Rizkabin, and Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda that it's Osir, and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon that it's Mutter. So Gemara says, no. In fact, Yolam Rabbi Rav, Ki Rabbi Yehuda Asirule. In fact, you're 100% right. Rav does hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore Dover Shem Rizkabin is Osir. However, in regards to the Bi'ur Rishona, according to the opinion we learned yesterday, Lach Lishul Dama Dam Mifkat Pocket, that the Dam isn't absorbed in the tissue. It's in a collection behind the tissues, and when you open up the tissue, when you break the hymen, so then that blood comes out, mifkat pocket, it was collected over there, and it's just waiting to come out, so then even Rabbi Yehuda, who normally says the Dovashin Miskabin is Osir, says this is a situation of Makalkilhu, it's a Pesach. You're not interested in the Pesach, it's Dovashin Miskabin, but it's Makalkil. So even Rabbi Yehuda, who normally says the Dovashin Miskabin is Osir, would in this situation say that the Dovashin Miskabin, if it's Makalkil, is Mutter. So Rav could hold like Rabbi Yehuda and yet allow Bi'ur Rishona if you hold this opinion of Dam Mivkat Pocket and Makalkil, it's a Pesach. And likewise, according to the opinion that says that the blood is part of the tissue, lach lishna d'omar dam chabure michbar, that it's part of the tissue, and you're creating a wound over here, nevertheless, this is again, mekalkel b'chaburuhu, since this is a destructive act, so this was the machlokas, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon from yesterday, where paradoxically Rabbi Shimon says that it's osur, and Rabbi Huda in this situation would say that mekalkel b'chaburuhu is permissible. So therefore, the Beis Medrash of Rav would say that Rav does in fact hold like Rabbi Huda that the Rishon Rizkabin is also, but these are the exceptions that prove the rule, essentially, and therefore that's why Rav is the one that's Mekel and can say you can have Bi'ur Rishon on a Friday night, and Shmuel is the one that says that you cannot. Incidentally, the Shita Mekubetzes points out that this isn't a question on Shmuel, because Shmuel could technically argue, we only phrase this as a question on Rav, because Shmuel could argue that yes, even though he holds like Rabbi Shimon, so how does the Beis Medrash of Rav say that Shmuel is Oser if he holds like Rabbi Shimon? Because he can say this entire machlokas has absolutely nothing to do with Dover Shein Miskavein, like Rabbi Shimon is Mutter, like Rabbi Yehuda is Oser, that the only reason why you can't have a Chabur according to Shmuel is because Shema Yishochet Ben Of, like we had in the Shia 2 days ago. So that's why Shmuel would say it's Oser and has nothing to do with this machlokas of Dover Shein Miskavein, and therefore that's why this wasn't a question on Shmuel. So we explain now how Rav could be the Makel opinion and Shmuel could be the Machmer opinion. But now we're going to question how could Shmuel be Machmer to not allow the Bi'ur Rishon on a Friday night when we're going to have a whole series of brises that seem to suggest that you can have the Bi'ur Rishon on a Friday night. Masiv Ruchista, Ruchista brings the following raya from the Mishnah Nida. The Mishnah Nida tells us that there's a tinokes, Shiloi Giyazmana, a young girl who's pre-menstruation, she's pre-monarchal. So let's say we're dealing with a 10-year-old girl who gets married. Shiloi Giyazmana, she hasn't yet started menstruating. Shiloi Giyazmana Leros, the Nises, and now she gets married. So any blood that she sees is presumptively not menstrual blood and is purely hymenal blood. So therefore, according to this, Beishamayom Rim, Nosin Lo Arba Lelos, we give her 4 nights and assume that any blood that she sees during this period of time is in fact going to be menstrual blood. So the Basula gets married on a Wednesday, so we give her Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Motzei Shabbos, in order that that blood is considered Dam Besulin, and it's Heter Gomer for her to still be with her husband. We don't consider her Tameya, at least in the times of the Gemara. Again, today, women are Machmir, Tipas Dam Kechar, believe if they see a small little bit of blood, like a mustard seed, for almost any reason, they're Machmir. So we're not getting into the Halacha L'maisa today, but we're saying, based upon this Mishnah Nida, that even though she has dam, it's presumptively dam besulin in this girl that hasn't yet reached the age of menstruation. And Beishame says she has 4 nights. Beisilo says differently. Beisilo omrim atche tichya hamaka. She says until she stops having bleeding, as Rashi points out over here. And Dibra Hamaskal atche tichya hamaka calls ban sheena mishamesh says below dam lo choyis hamaka. If she still continues to see blood post tashmish, so then it's clear that the wound never healed, the hymen never healed, and the blood that you see is a constant reopening up of the little bit of the wound that she has over there, and therefore until she goes having tashmish without seeing blood, so then it's considered definitely dam besulin, and it's not something they have to be concerned about, that this is maybe her first episode of menstruation. The Mishnah neither continues, and it tells us higiyas man leros, and as Rashi points out, velo ros, so the girl has reached the age of menstruation. She's 12 years old, but she hasn't yet menstruated in this situation, and she gets married. So beishame omrim nos lo laila harishon. She gets the entire first night. Rashi says afilu lebilos harbe. She could even have multiple episodes of intercourse that night with her husband. But then any dam she sees after that first night is presumed to be the dam of menstruation and not the dam of besulin. Now, here's a proof against Shmuel. Obeis Hillel Omrim ad Motzi Shabbos arba lelos. She has until Motzi Shabbos. Again, they get married on Wednesday afternoon. So she has Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Motzi Shabbos. So she specifically has, it states, 4 nights. It doesn't just say ad Motzi Shabbos. It just doesn't say arba lelos. It specifically tells us that she has until Motzi Shabbos, which is 4 nights. And we turn to Vav Amud Beis. My love, doesn't this Mishnah need to tell us the Elo Baal, if he didn't have successfully relations with her on Wednesday night or on Thursday night, that Motzi Boil Afilu B'Shabbos, he's allowed to have relations L'Chachila the first time Bia Rishona on Friday night. And therefore, it's a Kasha and Shmuel. How, Shmuel, can you say he have a mission against you? How can you say that the man is prohibited from having relations for the first time with his wife on Friday night? Here, this Mishnah seems to clearly indicate that you can't. So the Gemara says, Omar Rabba, lo. That is not what the Mishnah is telling us. The Mishnah is telling us, Levar Mi Shabbos. You can have the relations Wednesday night. If you have the relations Thursday night, you can have the relations Motzei Shabbos. But you can't have the relations on Friday night. So Gemara says, that's ridiculous. Abaye says, only Abaye says to Rabba, Ad Motzi Shabbos arba lelos kitani. It didn't say up until Motzi Shabbos we attribute it to dam besulin, and after that then we don't attribute it to dam besulin anymore. It says that you're allowed to have it until Motzi Shabbos, which is 4 nights. So there's extra wording in the Mishnah. Motzi Shabbos arba lelos. One of the two verbiages is unnecessary, and therefore it must mean that in fact, you're allowed to have the relations specifically on all 4 nights, including Friday night, and that's the Kasha and Shmuel. How can he possibly say that you're not allowed to have relations on Friday night? This Mishnah seems to say you definitely can. So Rava says, Taki, you're right, Abaye. Elama Rava, Kisha Baal. The Mishnah's talking about where he did have relations successfully on Wednesday night or on Thursday night, and that's why he's allowed to again have relations on Friday night. So the Gemara says, if that's true, Ikisha Baal, so the Michael Mashla. So then what's the Kiddush? Just tell us 4 nights. Okay, so you're assuming dam besulin in a girl who's reached the age of menstruation but hasn't yet started to menstruate, so we give her 4 nights of dam besulin. Why did you have to mention ad motzi Shabbos arba lelos? Again, the wording is a problem. So Gemara says, nope, it's not a problem. There is a chiddush over here. Kamash bulon, deshori lemival b'Shabbos kiddush Shmuel. That you are allowed to have relations, like Shmuel says, on Shabbos once you've already had relations. And why is that? Because Shmuel says, the Omer Shmuel, Pirtsa dechuka mutuli konisbo b'Shabbos, the afopi shemeshir tsroros. He says a very, very tight opening. Pirtsa dechuka means an opening. A pirtsa is an opening. Dechuka means tight, it's pressed. So this woman who had her hymen broken but not completely shattered, so in this situation, there's a tight opening and you're going to have some more potential bleeding on Friday night when you have relations with her. The afopi shemeshir tsroros, even though you're going to go and literally, soros means pebbles. What it means is you're going to rip some more of the tissue there and it's going to cause bleeding. So that, Shmuel says, we don't have to be concerned about. To do the bia rishon on Friday night, that, Shmuel says, is not allowed. But to do a bia shnia, to do a second bia, which may possibly go and cause some more bleeding, that you don't have to be concerned about. And that's the chiddush over here by saying 4 nights ad Motzei Shabbos. So telling us, yes, even though there is this theoretical concern that maybe you're going to cause some bleeding, even Shmuel would say that that's allowed. The first time, no. But the second time or the third time, yes. As Rashi points out, the Ramaskul should make sure Tzroas, the high Nami, in this case with the virgin who had relations on Wednesday, and now she's allowed to have relations again. She had it Wednesday night. She can have it again Friday night. The high Nami, Dilma Mechavel Purta, you may cause a little bit more damage, or Misveika, but maybe, yes or no, Lo Asvinala, we don't prevent you from doing this. Again, this is Halacha Lamaisa in those days. This is not the Halacha Lamaisa nowadays, which is, again, a much more stricter interpretation of what we can do Lamaisa. Okay, now the Gemara says again, Akash on Shmuel's opinion that you're not allowed to have relations on Friday night. Moshe Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef asked Akash on Shmuel from the Mishnah and Brachos. The Mishnah and Brachos, famous Mishnah, tells us Chosim Potu Mikriya Shema Laila Harishona Ad Motzei Shabbos. Again, we're assuming everybody gets married on a Wednesday, so they're getting married Wednesday afternoon. So they have Wednesday night, they have Thursday night, they have Friday night, they have Motzei Shabbos Ad Beklal. So you're allowed to go and not say Kriya Shema if you're a Chosim. In those days, the normal way that people daven was they had tremendous kavana. And here, because he's going to be torahed with the Dvar Mitzvah, so he won't be able to have kavana. So Lamaisa, in the times of the Gemara, they said, don't say Kriya Shema because you can't say it properly. Halach Lamaisa nowadays, we never say Kriya Shema with the right kavana. So it'll be almost a merziki yuara, it'll be a chutzpah, it'll be an arrogance for a person to say, oh, I normally daven with such kavana. And tonight, because I'm getting married, I'm not davening with such kavana, so I won't say Kriya Shema. So pum faker, today the opposite is true. That in fact we require a chassid to say Kriya Shema even on his wedding night because we unfortunately never daven with such great kavana, and it would be arrogant to say that tonight I can't daven with great kavana. We never do. In any event, the halacha lemaisa has totally switched around. But the Gemara in Brachos tells us that a chassid in the night of his wedding and for the subsequent nights as well, ad Motzei Shabbos, for the four nights, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos night, he's part of saying Kriya Shema. Now, the Mishnah there continues and says, "Im lo osa maisa." That's only if he didn't consummate the marriage. And that situation, he didn't consummate it on Wednesday night, so then he'll consummate it on Thursday night. If he doesn't consummate it on Thursday night, he'll consummate it on Friday night. So you see, the Bir Rishon is clearly allowed. My lab, the Torid, the Boil and Mival. And the reason why he's exempt from saying Kriya Shema is because he's concerned, he's Torid, with performing the mitzvah properly. And therefore, clearly, you're allowed to do the Bir Rishon on Friday night. Kasha and Shmuel. So Amalei Abaye says, no, it's not a Kasha and Shmuel. You know why he's Torahed over here? Lo, it's not that he's Torahed that the boil him about that he wants to do Bila. It's the Torahed, the low boil. He's preoccupied so much with the fact that he wasn't successful in having relations on Wednesday night. He wasn't successful in having relations on Thursday night. Now, it's awesome to have relations on Friday night, but he's still Torahed with the idea that he hasn't yet been Makai in the Mitzvah. That's why he doesn't say Kriya Shema according to Abaye on Friday night. Not because he's going to do the mitzvah. It's because he hasn't yet done the mitzvah, and he's torahed, preoccupied with not having done the mitzvah, and that's why he doesn't have the obligation to say Kriya Shema. So Abaye says exactly the opposite of what the simple understanding of the Mishnah was. The simple understanding of the Mishnah is that you're torahed in wanting to do the mitzvah on Friday night, and that's what was the Kasha and Shmuel, and Abaye says, no, you're torahed in the fact that you haven't done the mitzvah, you won't be able to do it that night, but you're torahed that the next night you're going to have to do it, and that's why Abaye says, you don't say Kriya Shema, and the Mishnah is absolutely not a problem for Shmuel. But based upon this idea that just being torahed, thinking about doing the mitzvah on another night, that exempts you from saying Kriya Shema because you're osuk, you're torahed in something. So then Amalei Rava, Rava says to Abaye, really? Umishum tirda potter? Are you telling us because he's not going to do the mitzvah tonight, but he's just concerned about that he hasn't done the mitzvah, that makes you exempt from saying Kriya Shema? Elamayata, based upon what you're saying, if a person suffers a huge financial loss, such as Tavus Sinosa Bayam, Hochanami the punter, the guy sees his ship sinking at sea, his entire wealth, his entire fortune, his entire livelihood just went down the into the ocean. And that's going to obviously make him very upset, very emotional, and very preoccupied. Are you telling me that he's part of saying Kriya Shema in that situation? And you're going to say, yes, he is. Yeah, that's exactly it. He's torahed, and therefore he's not able to say Kriya Shema with Kavana. So if that's your case, that's just simply not true. Rabbi Abba Bar Zav, Rabbi Abba Bar Zav, they said the name of Rav, that an Avel, who is obviously preoccupied with his Avelus, nevertheless, is Chayv Chol Mitzvah, Samuris B'Torah, Chutz Min HaTfilah, is obligated to say Kriya Shema, and all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, the one mitzvah he's not obligated to do, is because of the pasuk that we have in Yechezkel, which tells us that the tefillin are called per, and this is one thing that an avel is not allowed to go put on the first day of his avelus, is to put on his tefillin. But all the other mitzvahs, he's even though he's preoccupied, he's mechuyev to do, including saying Kriya Shema. Why not tefillin? Shneimar pa'em pe'er, because the pasuk tells us in Yecheskel pa'er, and pe'er is a reference to the tefillin, and it says that if you're in Avelus, you can't put on the tefillin. That's what Yecheskel was told, and therefore that's the exception that proves the rule. But clearly you see that even though you're preoccupied with your loss that you suffered in your family, you're obligated to say Kriyat Shema. So too over here, Rava says to Abaye, how can you tell me the guy's preoccupied and he hasn't yet done the mitzvah, and therefore he can't do it with proper kavanah to say Kriyat Shema? Even if you're preoccupied with something, you're still obligated to say Kriyat Shema. So Rava says, Ela Omar Rava. Rava says, Tanoihi. In fact, Shmuel holds like one Tana, and Rav holds like the other Tana. Rav says you're allowed to have relations on Friday night, because he holds like the Tana that says you're allowed to have relations on Friday night. And Shmuel, according to Rava, says he holds like the Tana that says you're not allowed to have relations on Friday night. Where is this Machlochex? The Tana Chodah, we have one Brisa that tells us, in Lo Osa Maisa B'Rishon, Patraf B'Sheni. And Lo Osa Maisa B'Sheni, so Patraf B'Shlishi. So this Brisa says, exactly like Rav holds, that if the person got married on Wednesday, and then Wednesday night he wasn't successful in having relations, so then you're allowed to go have relations Thursday night. And if Thursday night you weren't successful in having relations, then you're allowed to have relations on the third night, which is Friday night. Oh, this Brisa holds exactly like Rav, that there is no problem having the Bia Rishona on Friday night. But Tanya Ida, but there's another Brisa that holds exactly like Shmuel. The Tanya Idah says, if you weren't successful having relations on Laila Rishon or on Rishon, and you weren't successful having relations with Sheni, so then you're part of saying Kriyat Shema on those two nights, but only those two nights. Shlishi, since you're not allowed to go and have relations, therefore you're not going to be Torud, but Bidvar Mitzvah, you're chayiv to say Kriyat Shema on Friday night. That's how Rava understands this machlokas. And that's how Shmuel is able to be compatible. He's not compatible with the Mishnah that says that it's mutter to have relations on Friday night, but he's compatible with this Brisa that says you don't have relations on the Friday night for the first time. How does Abaye understand this? For Abaye, what would he say? He would say, Hosanami b'tirda pligi. He says that these two Brises are arguing about the tirda concept. According to Abaye, here you're at Torah in Dvar Mitzvah, even though you're not going to do the Dvar Mitzvah of the Bila. And his understanding was that you're Torah with the fact that you haven't done it, but it's tirda the mitzvah, as opposed to the case with the boat sinking, that's tirda, that's not a dvar mitzvah. So therefore, Abaye says, Hosam nami b'tirda pligi. The two brises are arguing about whether the person has fulfilled or not fulfilled the mitzvah yet. One brise says, you're allowed to. That's like Rav. And the other brise is like Shmuel that says, no, even though you're preoccupied and not having done the mitzvah, but you're obligated still to say Kriyat Shema. In any event, Rava has it as a straightforward machlokes. One brisa says you're allowed to have relations on Friday night, and the other brisa says you're not allowed to have relations on Friday night. And according to Rava, this machlokes that we just wrote down, v'hani tanoik, ki-hani tanoik, these two brises parallel a other tanoik machlokes that we have seen in this regard. The Tanya, it says in another brisa, hakonis is a besula lo yivo b'chila b'shabes. Here this brisa says, Ar machlokas b'feirish, that the first opinion in this brisa says, when you marry a besula, lo yivo b'tchila b'shabbos. If you're getting married on Wednesday night and you haven't yet consummated the marriage, so then you're not allowed to go and do that on Friday night. The chachamim matirim, but the chachamim allow it. So this is a b'feirish brisa that supports Rava's understanding. Now the Gemara says, who are these chachamim? Man chachamim. So I'm a rabbi. Oh, this is Rabbi Shimon. He, the Amar Dabar Shem Eskav is mutter. This goes in accord. But the chachamim here to say that it's mutter, this is very well fits in with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who says Dabar Shem Eskav is mutter. And yes, you could explain it possibly in other ways, but this is the simplest way to explain it. Again, this is according to Rabbi, who says that these chachamim are the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Dabar Shem Eskav is mutter. Abaye doesn't learn it this way. Abaye says to Rabbah, the whole mode of Rabbi Shimon b'psik reish v'liyomos. So he questions this understanding of Rabbah. And he says, even though Rabbi Shimon says, Dov Shem Eskavi is mutter, but here when you're having the Bia Rishona, that becomes a psik reisha, won't it? 100%. This is what we discussed earlier in the shir, and yesterday we mentioned, and I said, we get to it, now we're getting to it. Abaye says, after all, we have the famous statement, Abaye and Rava, they both say that mode of Rabbi Shimon b'psik reish v'liyomos. So therefore, how can you tell me that Rabbi Shimon is matirid over here? It's 100%, according to Abaye, going to happen that you're going to break the hymen and cause the blood to come out. And therefore, even though that's not your intention, it is a psik reisha, it will happen 100% of the time, and therefore it's not allowed. So Rabbi says, no, Amalei. Rabbi tells him, Lo kehalalu badliyim. No, the Braisa doesn't refer to people that are like the badliyim. That's usually a disparaging type of a statement that says she'ein bekiyim b'hatoya, that these badliyim, the people who live in Babel, they don't know how to properly have relations, that you don't cause the woman to break her hymen. She'ein bekiyim b'hatoya. B'hatoya means that you go and do the act of tashmish in somewhat of an angle. B'hatoya is in a way that it will not directly pierce the hymen and destroy the tissue, but will come in on an angle that will allow the hymen to stay intact, and therefore the blood won't come out. But this opinion is according to Ela Yesh Bekiyim Batoya, those that are capable of doing this, and therefore it's not a psikresha. And therefore, if it's not a psikresha, then Rabbi Shimon says it's a Dovah Shein HaMiskavin, and it would be mutter, even if blood comes out, because that blood is not a psikresha. The Gemara says, Im Kain, if that's true, Torah Loma. So then, why is there any sort of a preoccupation that he's not going to be able to say Kriyashma, because he's preoccupied? If they're all capable of doing this Hatoya, so what are they concerned about? That he won't be able to have relations because he won't be able to break the hymen of the woman? So he's going to do Hatoya anyway, and there won't be a concern. So Mor says, yeah, Lishaino Baki. We're dealing about some people that aren't Baki. Mor says, so then the Mishnah should say, according to Rabbah, Yomru Baki Mutter. Sheino Baki is also. Do we really want to start making such distinctions? Who's allowed to, who's not allowed to? It depends on whether you're a Baki or not. So Mor says, no. Because Rov Bikin Hain, since the majority of the people are able to do this Bahatoya, so therefore it's not a psikresha, and therefore it's permissible across the board. Amli Rav bar Rav Chanan li Abaye. Rav bar Rav Chanan says to Abaye, Elamayata, based upon what we just said, that there is no blood because they're Rov Bikin Bahatoya, so then what's the purpose? Elamayata, Shushbinin Loma. Why do we have shushbinim? Rashi explains over here that we're dealing here with the shushbinim. So mi'achash yesh bikiin livo, nira masu shushbinim lama, mi'achash yesh bikiin livo, below dam, since there are the majority of the people that can do this hatoya, they can have the relations without causing the hymenal blood to be spilled. So hadatani lekam, we're going to learn on Daf Yud Beis that the way they would set it up was hayumamid lem shnei shushbinim, they would set up two qualified people, echad lo v'echad lo, one representing the chosin, one representing the kala, and they would make sure that the bedding of the wedding room was clean, and that there wasn't a pre-stained sheet there, so the woman could claim that's the dam besulin, or that there would be no other sheets in the room, that the husband could take out one sheet and replace it with another sheet. So whatever it was, they would go and make sure that nobody was doing any chicanery, and therefore to make sure that there were no shenanigans and to make sure that everything was being done properly. But if you're telling me that there could be hatoya and there won't be any dam besulin, so how does this help at all that they checked it out? He's going to make a tainas besulin, that the woman didn't have besulin. Look, the sheet was dry. Now, Rashi is going to explain in a moment that we have here the ability for the woman to say, Tomala adayim besulani. So that's not a concern, that we're worried that they're going to have a clean sheet and the man is going to say, I was puncturing her hymen, I had relations with her, but there was no blood. So the woman can say, listen, I'm still a basula. You can check. I'm still a basula. So therefore, that's why there was no blood. He did hatoya, and that's why there's no blood. But for now, the Gemara is saying that what's the purpose of these shushbinim? And as well, ma'apa loma, what's the purpose of here? Looking, we have a nice clean white sheet without any stains on it already. If this chosin is going to give a tainas basula, he's going to say that his wife wasn't a basula, he could have done it via hatoya. So Amalei, Abai says, Hosum shema yira v'yabe. So the purpose, according to this, even though he could do hatoya, is in case there is blood, that we have to make sure that there's no shenanigans, there's no trickery going on, that he's going to take the sheet that had the blood on it and get rid of it and put some out a clean sheet over there. So that's what the purpose of the shushbinim and the mappa, the clean mappa, the clean breading, is to make sure that there are no shenanigans going on. Mark continues and says, we still have a problem with Shmuel. Mosi Ravami, Ravami says, the following Mishnah in Edios states, Hamefis Mursa Bishabis. If a person has some sort of a pimple, some sort of a boil, and has pus inside, and as we say, pus under pressure is very painful. So if you have a newly swollen pimple or pustule, so it's going to be quite painful for the person. So you want to break it open to stop the pain. You're not interested in having the pus come out. That's a davar sheino miskabe. You're interested in not having the pain. And you have no need for the pus. You're going to throw the pus in the garbage. So therefore, hamepis mursul b'shabbos. So im lasos lopeh, if you want intentionally to go make a permanent opening there so that the pus will continue to drain, so then that will be chayav, because now it's a davar sheino miskabe. That's what you're intending to do. And there is an iser over here of boneh. That's a simple way to understand this. Rashi says, Chayev Shu Masakin Pesach, the Chayev Shum Bona. The bottom Rashi tells us that this would be an Issa Deraisa of Bona. Because the Ashikon Binyun Babali Chayev, the Silva, even Esatzela. We find this by Chava that she was built, so to say, from Adam. And therefore, we see that this opening, making a Pesach over here, if that was your intention, would be an Issa Deraisa. However, if your sole intention is to just stop the pain, the pus under pressure is very painful, and you just want to get that pain to stop, and you're not interested in having a permanent opening over there, so then we turn to Zion and Aleph, Potter. This would be the exact opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that you'd be Potter in this situation. So Kasha on Shmuel, how can Shmuel say that your chayiv, your intention by the Dam Basulin, is not to have the opening? Your interest is in having the hanah of the bia, or to have the dam come out, but you're not interested in the opening. So therefore, how could Shmuel say that you're chayav? So Shmuel says, again, hasam pikid va'akir. The difference is, by the morsel, by the pustule, so the pus inside of it has no connection to the tissue around it. And therefore, if you're removing that pus that's inside this pustule, so then it is nothing to do with the basar, nothing to do with the actual skin and material of the skin, as opposed to the dam besulin hachem pakid below akir. Here, it was blood that was from the body and had been collected over there, but it hadn't yet come out. It's somehow absorbed over there, and releasing it on Shabbos, Shmuel would say, is making a wound, and therefore that's why it's usur in the case of the dam of the besulin, but it's not usur in the case of the Mishnah that tells us hamepis mursa is potter. That even Shmuel would agree is correct. And Rashi says this more clearly. You'll see it inside the Rashi. Pokir hu v'lo akir. He says that in the situation of the dam besulim, Rashi says it's nivla kitzas b'ksalim. It's still, even if you hold that it's collected over there, it's still somewhat absorbed in the walls of the hymen. And afal pishen mechuber kishardam. It may not be the same as other blood and tissues of the avarim. Elo konus. It's still somewhat collected over there. Nevertheless, miu domel lemechuber. It is some ways considered like it's mechuber. Who shein amuchel lotzeis kalecha. And it's not the same as the pus that's waiting to come out. This blood behind there is not waiting to come out. You have to do something to make it come out, as opposed to the pus that is just waiting, so to say, to come out. So that's how Shmuel would differentiate between the two and say by the mefis mursa it's potter. However, by the dam besulin it would be aser. As long, of course, as his intention was not to make the Pesach, it was just to get rid of the Lecha, then it would be potter, even according to Shmuel. With this, we conclude today's shiur.